get ready.
Hello, I think.
Welcome to the Galactic Escape Pod.
Incoming!
Well, come on.
Nice of you guys to drop by.
The official podcast of Galactic-Voyage.com.
Everybody quiet. We've been waiting for you.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Welcome to our next episode, everyone. My name is Gary Willis, and I'm so glad that you've decided to join us today. We have a really great show with a lot of variety today, and we want to talk about Star Wars Insider number 153 that just recently came out. We're also going to talk a little bit about some Clone Wars news. We'll get into some Episode 7 news. We'll talk a little bit about gaming. And then we're going to kind of do an overall wrap-up of what we've seen so far in Star Wars Rebels. And so I'm going to take it from the shorts all the way up to the latest episode, which was Rise of the Old Masters, because I haven't had an opportunity to kind of get my thoughts out on the table about that. And then also we're going to finish up the episode today with the story of Return of the Jedi LP Part 5 from 1983. So let's go ahead and get right into the news.
Do you know what's going on? Maybe it's another drill.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
All right, move along.
So the first thing we're going to talk about today is Star Wars Insider number 153. This latest Star Wars Insider is now available, and here's some things you can look forward to inside of this issue. Dave on the Dark Side. We'll be hearing from Dave Filoni, the executive producer of Star Wars Rebels, on the villains of the new show. Also in this issue, The Art of Rebels, Star Wars Rebels concept artist Amy Beth Christensen, on the design of the show. Next, we'll hear about Lost in Translation, and forgive the name, but I believe it's Massimo Fossacci is the voice of the Italian Darth Vader, and he's going to be speaking out. Also connecting with the Force is a special guide to the Star Wars stars and how to follow them on Twitter. There'll also be Star Wars Style, the costumes of the galaxy far, far away, which is an exclusive look at the costumes from A New Hope, authors of the expanded universe, Tales of the Sith, where the Sith take center stage in the final part of our Tales of the Jedi retrospective, and then Tarkin Revealed. Author James Luceno will be talking about his new novel, Tarkin, plus a stunning extract will be available. So be sure to go get your copy today of Star Wars Insider number 153. In Clone Wars news, it is finally coming, and it's coming to Blu-ray. Star Wars The Clone Wars The Lost Missions. You've been enjoying those missions on Netflix, but now you can actually own them and put them in your collection. Walt Disney Home Entertainment has announced that the Blu-ray release of Star Wars The Clone Wars The Lost Missions, which is the sixth and final season of the Emmy Award-winning Warner Cartoon Network animated series, the 13-episode season arrives on Blu-ray on November 11th. So, in these eagerly anticipated episodes of Star Wars The Clone Wars, some of the deepest mysteries of the conflict between the light and the dark sides of the Force are revealed. An intrepid clone trooper discovers a shocking secret. Anakin Skywalker's closest relationship is tested to its limits. and what Master Yoda discovers while investigating the disappearance of a Jedi could forever change the balance of power in the galaxy. So let's take a quick listen to a synopsis of what we're going to hear as a conclusion to this fantastic show, The Star Wars, The Clone Wars. This is coming from The Lost Missions.
Yoda, my old friend, it is I, Qui-Gon Jinn.
The voice I hear does not come from within, but speaks from beyond.
You must complete what I could not. Come to Dagobah. The answers you seek are here.
Secret from us, Cypher DST. How this was done, we know not. Yet now, a new piece of the puzzle we have.
It seems he's had some sort of breakdown. He doesn't seem to remember what happened.
Protocol 66 must not be discovered by the Jedi.
Yes, Lord Tyrannus.
Our garrison has been attacked by the Separatists. I'm afraid I'm trapped.
Senator Amidala, you are under arrest for espionage.
You must face the gravest of journeys
to Moribond,
the ancient homeworld of the Sith.
Down!
Thanks. It wasn't you I wanted to save.
There must be 100 droids in that hangar. This is stretching it even for you, sir.
Rex, you're beginning to sound like Obi-Wan.
CT-5555.
No clone uses that number. I am Fives. Call me Fives.
The difference is minimal.
Not to me. And not to any clone.
As with any Blu-ray, there's always some goodies that come with it. The two-disc Blu-ray edition of The Lost Missions includes some of the following content that is the never-before-seen 16-minute documentary covering all six seasons. And also, we will have the four additional story reels from The Lost Missions on the Blu-ray only. So those were the same missions that we saw on StarWars.com, where they were not fully animated, but the story was there, the sound was there, and it really was fantastic. So be sure to go out and get your Blu-ray on November 11th. In Episode 7 news, will Warwick Davis be in Episode 7? Warwick Davis, who played Wicket the Ewok in Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, as well as Weasel and Wald in Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, will be in Star Wars Episode 7. The official Star Wars site presented a humorous special video concerning his possible appearance in J.J. Abrams' Star Wars film. Let's listen in.
How many times do I have to tell you I don't want one? No, nothing you can say is going to convince me otherwise. Look, please stop calling. I need to keep this line clear. I'm expecting a very important phone call any minute. But thank you. All right. Love you, Mum. Bye. Hi, I'm Warwick Davis. I just returned from hosting Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 in Essen, Germany. Now, like many of you fans out there, I was hugely excited to hear news that Star Wars Episode 7 will begin shooting next year. I also got to interview Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm. Let's just remind ourselves about what she had to say. And in the meetings that you've had, you know, about the development of the new films, has my name cropped up at all in the conversation?
Yeah, it's daily. 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 Daily.
Hello, Warwick Davis. Hello, Warwick Davis. Yes? JJ! Hi! Yeah? Would I like to appear in Star Wars Episode 7? Let me think about it. Yes!
Thank you.
Hello? Yeah. Just gonna check the diary.
Yep.
Good. Pinewood? Yeah. Yeah, I'll be right there. All right. May the Force be with you. Yes!
So congratulations to Warwick on his continued participation in a galaxy far, far away. In more Episode 7 news, filming is almost complete. Many actors have started to wrap their filming on Episode 7 to include Harrison Ford. According to Kathleen Kennedy, we are now only a couple of weeks away from closing the principal filming stage of Episode 7. December 2015 can't come fast enough for me. In gaming news, Star Wars The Old Republic Shadow of Revan has an expansion. Revan has returned. Prepare to face Revan and his fanatical followers as you adventure through 5 new levels of story-driven Star Wars missions that reach new heights of power at an increased level cap of 60, exploring exciting worlds and fight in new high-level flashpoints and operations in the digital expansion. Let's listen in to this really cool new Shadows of Revan expansion.
War is coming. Conflict on a scale we've never seen. Revan has forged an army with a single purpose: to change the galaxy forever. Empire, Republic, we must unite or fall. This is where we make our final stand. It's time to face your destiny.
The Shadow of Revan expansion will launch December 9th, 2014. You can pre-order now to get early access, a 12 by XP boost, which is subscriber exclusives, and the Grand Statue of Revan. So be sure to get yours today. It's coming, and it's going to feel like you older fans, just like the 1980s, to an arcade near you. It's called the Star Wars Battle Pod Arcade Game. And boy, are we in for a good ride for this one. Let's take a listen to this particular game.
The Force will be with you.
We must destroy the Death Star before it gets to the range. Launch all fighters.
All wings report in. Red 10 standing by. Red 5 standing by.
So Star Wars Battle Pod is a dome screen arcade system designed to offer gamers an experience they can only dream of. It's a game, according to the company, that you don't just play, you experience. The Battle Pod is a single-seat Star Wars vehicle combat simulator that uses a curved screen to drop players into the game and the movies. Players sit inside the pod using a flight stick and throttle to fly and fight their way through the Star Wars franchise. The 180-degree dome screen works in conjunction with a seat that uses low-frequency vibrations to deliver the feel of impacts and explosions, and special fans used to mimic the feeling of acceleration and speed, vibrating controllers, and 5.1 surround sound. So it totally sounds to me like an epic game that we are all going to have to play. It is a great time to be a Star Wars fan, and it is finally here. We are finally talking about live Star Wars Rebels. And I wanted to actually get started with the Star Wars Kanan comics. There's a new upcoming comic series called Star Wars Kanan from Marvel Comics, which took over from Dark Horse just recently. And they've announced at the New York Comic Con 2014 that it will kick off with a 5-part arc titled Kanan the Lost Padawan. And that focuses on the time period surrounding Order 66. So it will bridge the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. It will be written by Star Wars Rebels Season 1 producer Greg Wiseman. So in case you hadn't heard already, Star Wars Rebels has already been renewed for a second season. But it will be without Greg Wiseman, as I just mentioned. He left the show for Season 2 to work on this Kanan comic series. Kanan has established himself as more or less the co-leader of the ragtag group that's fighting back against the oppressive empire. Described as the cowboy Jedi, Kanan is a survivor. He was once a Padawan under the tutelage of Jedi Master Depa Bilba, but everything has changed, and when the clone troopers turned against the Jedi, after escaping Order 66 and the purge that followed, Kanan went off the grid. But how did he survive that life-changing event when so many other Jedis were lost? Greg Wiseman stated that, quote, "We're going to start with Caleb and his Jedi Master Depa Bilba in the field, fighting alongside each other in the Clone Wars years, fighting against the Separatists. That's where our story opens. I don't want to give away too much, but it literally opens the day before Order 66 comes," end quote. So the first issue of Star Wars Kanan the Last Padawan is due to be released in April of 2015, and it really sounds like it's going to be a great episode and really fill in some of the backstory about why Kanan is the way he is and what he knows and what he doesn't know. Okay, so let's talk about the Star Wars Rebels TV show. I, for one, am a 1977 original trilogy fan, so this has really been a great ride so far for me, and so we have had the shorts, we've had the Spark of Rebellion mini-movie, and we've had several episodes so far of the TV show, and I am really, truly loving the show. Now, I know that you all who listen to lots of podcasts and listen to lots of reports have probably heard so many people already talking about how great the show is and all the elements that are fantastic about it. And so I'm not necessarily going to belabor a lot of the praise because we all truly love it. And I guess I'm going to focus a little bit on some of the things that are more critical. And just in my case, it's an opinion, but it's some smaller things. So we did have the shorts, and I've enjoyed each one of those shorts, and it really kind of got our juices flowing before the mini-movie came out. One I want to talk about specifically is the Machine and the Ghost short. So one of the things that Dave Filoni had talked about was how they were going to be using lots of the same characters, angles and camera angles and scenes that are very familiar and music that's very familiar. So, but in some ways, as a fan, I find myself going back to seeing things in the original trilogy or focusing on some of those things, and it's almost like we're redoing them. So for instance, so when the Ghost was being chased by the TIE fighters, just like they did in the Millennium Falcon in Episode 4, New Hope, the scene was actually shot exactly the same. So just like you'd see the Falcon and the TIE fighters racing across the top of it and the gun shooting at it, it was shot, in my opinion, basically frame for frame, exactly like that. And so it's not that I didn't enjoy it and appreciate the fact that we were going through that process, but at the same time, I felt like, well, that takes away a little bit from that particular movie in that particular shot. You know, that was a classic shot, and so I kind of want it to remain its own classic thing. Not that you can't have the TIE fighters coming after the ship and hearkening to that particular scene, but to actually go frame by frame and make it feel exactly like the same type of shot is just something that bothers me a little bit. And, you know, again, it's an opinion, it's a small thing, but these are the types of comments that I'm going to make a little bit more of, because, again, I truly love the show, and I'm going to continue to love the show, and there's a lot of great things going on here. But I think these are just some things that stand out for me. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the Spark of Rebellion. And in doing so, we're actually getting our first special edition for Rebels, and the official Star Wars site had announced and confirmed that Darth Vader will be in the broadcast premiere of Star Wars Rebels Spark of the Rebellion, which will air on ABC on Sunday, October 26th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So executive producer Dave Filoni had stated, quote, "We want to do something special for the ABC broadcast, and we've added a scene which gives audiences insight into the Inquisitor and includes a cameo by Darth Vader, voiced by the distinguished actor James Earl Jones," end quote. So we all knew that he had to show up sometime in the show, but in a reworked Spark of Rebellion, I think that's pretty interesting that we're getting him that early. But I am so glad that they were able to get James Earl Jones to voice the character. Several people do a nice version, but it just really isn't Darth Vader without James Earl Jones to me. So let's go ahead and be sure to tune in on Sunday, October 26th, to see the animated Dark Lord of the Sith. And here is just a special preview of that. So let's take a listen.
Join the Rebellion. See a special airing of the premiere episode of Star Wars Rebels with never-before-seen footage featuring Darth Vader. Star Wars Rebels, Sunday, October 26th at 7, 6 Central on ABC.
So in the little shot that they provided for us, it looked like it might have been the Inquisitor who was talking to Darth Vader. So it will be pretty interesting to see. Yeah, I think it's going to really play into some of the episodes that are just coming out right now and how that will tie together. I know it might feel a little bit early to go ahead and be seeing Darth Vader, and I don't think we're going to see him a whole lot. But definitely being on a mainstream TV channel like ABC is definitely going to draw a larger crowd. People are going to be like, well, why should I watch the Star Wars Rebels? And Darth Vader could definitely be a hook for them. Spark of Rebellion is definitely a good start to the show. I mean, if you think back to 2008 when the Clone Wars started, I really enjoyed the movie there. And of course, everything really went 100 miles an hour better and got stronger as each year went by. And so I'm expecting that kind of a climb to happen to the same thing that we've got here with Star Wars Rebels. But Spark of Rebellion was a very strong opening. I really liked how they introduced the cast. The humor's great. The characters were great. I know that there were some things that people were focused on, like, for instance, the Wookiees and how that worked out. And I really liked how, speaking of Wookiees, they had the Lumpy character that was very hearkening back to the holiday special, which was back in 1978. So for those that have had an opportunity to see that, it's not the best of Star Wars work, but definitely you can see some of those connections taking place. So it was really great to see those things. And so Spark of Rebellion, I think, was a really great start. And so I don't necessarily have a whole lot to say about that particular one, other than I really enjoyed it. The first real episode we got was called Droids in Distress. And the episode featured the crew of the Ghost intercepting a shipment of weapons intended for the Galactic Empire. Along the way, they inadvertently picked up C-3PO and R2-D2, who were on a secret mission from Senator Bail Organa to prevent the weapons from falling into Imperial hands. The Rebels continue to be chased by Agent Kallus of the Imperial Security Bureau, and Zeb deals with some grief over the near extinction of his people. And in the end, R2-D2 provides Bail Organa, who will become one of the founders of the Rebel Alliance to restore the Republic, with information about the Rebels and their activities. So some highlights from the Droids in Distress. One of the things that was much appreciated was the fact that they had included the Star Tour speeder. So for those of you all who've been to Walt Disney in Florida, have maybe had the opportunity to be on the old Star Tour speeder, where we were able to go on a ride and visit with the RX-24 pilot, or they called him Rex in Star Tours. I wasn't ever able to get down there and do that. I haven't actually been to Disney, but I really found that very interesting. So let's take a listen real quickly to Rex in the Droids in Distress episode, who was played by the actually same character who did it, the voice for the Star Tours. And if you remember the actor that played Pee Wee Herman, he's the voice of that particular droid. So let's listen to Rex.
Hey, pilot, isn't there some rule against droids in the passenger area?
Oh, I am sorry, sir. Your astromech must proceed to the back of the craft.
So one of the things that's really great about the show is the influence of Ralph McQuarrie. That is one of the things that Dave Filoni talked about early on, about how they were going to be using the influence, the color palette, some of the images. And for those of you all who may not know, Ralph McQuarrie was the concept artist for the original Star Wars movie. So there were many characters and things that were brought back. And one of the things that stood out was, of course, Chopper has some of the elements of those original R2-D2 sketches. In Droids in Distress, we did see the original concept art for the C-3PO figure. Also on the Star Tours speeder, we did see the Ralph McQuarrie General, and he was one of the passengers that was sitting there. Later on in the episode, to see some more of his work, was the IG-88 concept. And so if you'll remember IG-88, if you go back into some of the art for Ralph McQuarrie, this character we saw was during the arm sale, and he's now called an IGRM Thug Droid. But this was the original artwork for the IG-88 droid. So, I really enjoyed the continuity and some of the things they've brought back in, and these little hints of things that we get. So it's really fantastic that way. And I know a lot of folks were probably very excited to see R2-D2 and C-3PO in the show, and I was happy to see them there as well. But one of the things that it's hard for me to say, but I'm not so sure I really wanted to have R2-D2 and C-3PO so engaged in this particular episode. It would have been great more for a cameo. So, for instance, maybe they were on the Star Speeder, or maybe we did pass them in the spaceport or something like that, and be like, hey, wow, that's R2-D2 and C-3PO, instead of throwing them directly in our face and becoming part of the team as they were going through trying to get the blasters and have the arm sail and then eventually blow those blasters up. You know, we just really, to me, it felt a bit forced. Not that I didn't enjoy them in the episode. Don't get me wrong, I did. But I just felt like it would have been a better fit. One of the things had been, Dave Filoni had said, you've got the original cast and things going on over, say, on the right side of the universe, and then on the left side of the universe is Lothal and all these other things going on, so they don't necessarily have all these intertwinings, the things that meet. Now, I'm not saying that, again, the droids couldn't have been around and we could have had a cameo from them, but it really did feel forced to me to have those folks thrown into the episode, become part of the team, become part of the heroes of the team. And I did like the connection where they came back and they had the R2-D2 reporting in on the rebels to Bail Organa, and of course the hearkening of kneeling down and Princess Leia putting in the disc into R2-D2 at the end on the Tantive IV. So I do like these elements, but I think they could have gotten some reports of these rebels from a little bit further away and seen some things going on. So that was a bit forced for me, and I kind of wish they hadn't put R2-D2 and C-3PO in that concept. But again, I really love the episode. I do like what they did. I just wish it had been done just a little bit differently. The second episode is called Fight or Flight, and the episode focuses heavily on Ezra and Zeb, who were sent out on a supply run after constantly arguing with one another aboard the Ghost. During their mission, they steal an Imperial TIE fighter and are ordered by Hera and Kanan to return to the Ghost. Along the way, they discover that a family of farmers, including Ezra Bridger's old friend, Morad Sumar, had been arrested by the Empire. The two rebels rescue the farmers before purposely destroying the TIE fighter and returning to the Ghost, having become better friends for that particular experience. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about here was the fact that it seems like we're always, when it goes to farmers and markets, we always seem to have the Yogan fruit that's everywhere. Is that the only thing people seem to be eating? I was at least appreciative that they were sent out to pick up what I think they called a Melaroon fruit. And so it was at least some other type of food. But once the Nyogen fruit was ever introduced, it seemed like that's just been everywhere. So I wish they would kind of lay off on that a little bit. Another thing that I do appreciate, again, being as an original Star Wars fan back from the 1970s, was the inclusion of the Imperial Troop Transport. And so for those of you all who've been following the lead up to the show and as it began, that the Imperial Troop Transporter was a toy from 1979, early 80, that came out right before The Empire Strikes Back. And it was one of those expanded universe toys. It was one of those things that wasn't shown in the movie and it hasn't been anywhere else. And so Dave Filoni had said, hey, you know what, we're going to talk to the people who created this thing and we're going to make sure it gets into the show. So I really thought that was really great. And so that was fun to see that. But I'll play for you right now the commercial for that back from 1979, early 80, for the Imperial Troop Transporter.
It's the Star Wars Imperial Troop Transporter that you put together. Batteries not included. Stormtrooper sold separately.
What's that?
It's my troop transporter. It makes 5 more sounds, too.
R2-D2, where are you?
There's the laser cannon, stun gun, and stormtrooper.
Did he say that?
Oh, Dad.
Star Wars Imperial Troop Transporter. Stormtrooper sold separately. New from Kenner.
So again, I really enjoyed the inclusion of the Imperial Troop Transporter. Now, as we were out on Lothal, one of the things that we saw and have seen are moisture evaporators. And I could be picky and say, well, moisture evaporators should be out on some place like Tatooine, but I can't honestly be thinking that the moisture evaporators are only being used on Tatooine or one particular planet. So it looks like there isn't much, if any, moisture on that particular planet. It's full of this dead wheat-looking grass. So I definitely can see the inclusion of moisture evaporators, and that's okay with me. So that's a nice familiar touch that we get out of the show that I really appreciate. One of the things that I did notice, though, when they went out and they saw Morad Sumar's farm, when you know the Imperial Troop Transporters were going to pick them up and they were blasting their hut away, it looked very much like the architecture of Luke's farm on Tatooine. So am I to believe that from one planet to the other that structure is going to be the same? So again, we could have a Star Wars-y type structure without necessarily going to the Luke homestead and having the troops beat up on those folks. I didn't necessarily like that was made in that connection. Of course, it is a Star Wars feel, and we can go with that, I guess. One of the things that was going on in The Ghost, if you'll have seen the episode, that Sabine was actually painting on the wall, and she was being creative and artistic, and the funny thing was that she was actually painting caricatures of Cad Bane and Imbo from the Clone Wars. So again, there's some connection to those particular episodes and hearkening back to that. One of the things in the series as a whole are the music cues. They keep bringing me back. I really like that they bring me back to the original series. It feels Star Wars to me, and this has been continuing on through all the episodes. But there are some key times where I hear key music, and then I focus more on the sounds that I'm getting, especially if it's coming from Star Wars New Hope. I happen to be focusing more on that scene in my head because I've heard the music so many millions of times that it actually kind of takes away a little bit from the scene in Star Wars Rebels. So I really appreciate Kevin Conner's work. I love what he did with the Clone Wars. I love what he's trying to do with Rebels. And so I hope that we can not have such direct lifts in a way, you know, that we can have some of the same themes, but not necessarily going straight with the lifts. And I, you know, if I were sitting here talking to Kevin right now, I'm sure he would say, I'm not lifting it directly. These are just some key themes that I am pulling from it. But I guess it's just, it's music we're so familiar with that it just tends to pull me into some of the old scenes from the movies. And then my brain gets a little wired and it's like, no, I'm not looking at that scene right now. Or, no, we're not really on the Death Star right now. We're someplace else. So, but I am enjoying the efforts being made with music, and I love Kevin Conner's music. I mean, he's just fantastic all the way around. I'm loving all the sounds that we get in the original sounds, and I'm really loving the show, and I just can't wait for more. One of the things that we'll get into about sounds is some of the lightsaber effects, and I love the lightsabers. I love the sounds of the TIE fighters and the laser blasts, and you know, it's just great sound work that I'm just truly enjoying as we move forward into this. So if Fight or Flight felt a little bit slower for you because it was character development between, you know, Ezra and Zeb, and they're starting to build a bond between each other, we get into the third episode that's just come out, and that's called Return of the Old Masters. And so there is a lot of really great stuff going on here. If folks were worried about it not being more adult, it's too much of the kids' theme, this show is actually going to be the one that's going to connect probably with the adults a whole lot more. There is some darkness into this episode, but yet there's some light as well. We find the episode opening with some scenes of Ezra doing some Jedi training that will harken back to the days of Luke Skywalker on Dagobah working with Yoda, and we'll see some things there. Actually, some Yoda lines come up, which are quite funny. But the background where they're doing the training, the ghost is actually flying in the clouds on Lothal, and it's just kind of hovering there, and the scene in the backdrop is really great. As we move forward into the episode, there is a word of Luminar Undili being captured by the Empire, and she was not killed, and so there is a plot to go try and rescue Luminara. And so as we get into the depth of the episode, we start to feel a little bit of, at least in my mind, it was kind of a cross between the Citadel raid that we had in the Clone Wars. It kind of have a lot of that same feel. You know, we're trying to go rescue a Jedi Master, and they, you know, taking on a base that's impenetrable and it's hard to get out. It all felt very similar, and of course when you're on the inside of that, it felt again very much like a Death Star type of feel to it. But the gang gets through, they try and get into this raid, and when they get to the cell and they actually go to free Luminara, it was really an interesting twist here. So again, if you haven't seen this episode, there might be some spoilers for you here, but we wanted to see Luminara, and as they got into the cell, she faded away into a casket on the wall. So somehow they were using her remains. Yeah, she had actually been killed during the Clone Wars, during Order 66, and they were using her body as a means of, I guess the Force was so strong with her that it was a way to trap other rebels. And to do that, and other Jedi, we were able to see the Inquisitor for the first time. So he comes in, and he's voiced by Jason Isaacs, and many of you will know him from the Harry Potter series. I did not actually see him in the Harry Potter series. I haven't really watched that series, but I do remember him from The Patriot, which was a Mel Gibson movie. And it just I hear him speak, and especially when he's talking about Ezra and kind of calling him a boy, and it reminds me of when in The Patriot he shot Mel Gibson's son and said he was just a stupid little boy. And so the tone and that arrogance and the quality is all very much the same. So it was very cool to see that connection. And of course, he is very confident and very sure of himself, and this trap was laid, and he knew that he was going to come, he being Kanan, going to come and try and rescue. And apparently this had been done before, because he made kind of a reference to the Jedi always falling for these types of tricks. So let's play a little bit of what was going on in that cell and kind of that first initial encounter with the Inquisitor.
There will be no reinforcements. Interesting. It seems you trained with Jedi Master Depa Bilaba.
How? Who are you?
The temple records are quite complete. In close quarter fighting, Bilaba's emphasis was always on Form 3, which you favor to a ridiculous degree. Clearly, you were a poor student.
So So this was definitely a fantastic scene, and it was really great to see those two get together and clash, because surely we're going to be seeing that a whole lot as we go through. So, as they continue the fight and they come outside, Ezra is coming up against the Inquisitor, and he's shooting his little slingshot, which, he just basically laughs at. He actually takes hits as if, you're actually shooting this thing at me. But he pushes Kanan down the hall and out of the way, and he comes up behind him, and he's, I do so admire your persistence. Ready to die. And so it's a pretty cool line there, and he's getting ready to strike, and of course that makes Kanan mad, and you all may have seen the scenes in some of the YouTube videos that have been out from the official Star Wars site, where he throws him up against the ceiling, and he tells Ezra to hurry up and get out of there, and that's when his lightsaber is in two blades instead of just the one, and it starts to spin, and he's like, hey, does yours do that? So I thought that was pretty funny, and some great lines going on there. It's totally a great sequence, and it's gritty. It feels very very good for a bad guy. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's just the Inquisitor's a really, really cool guy to see. Now, if we go back into the cell for just a moment, and we're thinking about this hologram corpse thing that just keeps coming up, I wonder if this might be, and it's of course now tying into episode 7 a little bit, but there's always been this talk that Darth Vader could possibly end up in episode 7. So, other than a hologram, how in the world would he be able to do that? Because definitely, he's gone and he's dead. But maybe that's how they could do this. Maybe by having some sort of corpse that Vader could have, like, this hologram thing that shows up. I don't know. Just something to think about. But it's pretty cool stuff. And, of course, those guys get away, and there's stormtroopers that are, they're fighting their way off the loading dock or the landing pad that they have there. And there's some guns there that harken back to the Death Star with the double-barrel guns and some things that you've seen. And so it's definitely a must-see watching episode. And there's definitely some confidence issues with Kanan feeling like he should be training Ezra. And Ezra really wants to be training with him, even though he isn't complete. And so there's some really, really nice character development going on between the two of them at the end of this particular episode. But of course, they get away, and I'm sure we're going to be seeing a lot more of the Inquisitor. But this is definitely a great episode, something that I'm sure the fans are hoping for, and so you're finally going to get some of those lightsaber battles that we want. Speaking on lightsaber, and I'd mentioned earlier that we'd talk about a little bit of the sound, I love the Inquisitor's lightsaber sound. It has kind of a growl to it. And I was thinking, for some reason, I think I've heard that before. I've heard kind of a growl, but I know that, we didn't have any lightsabers that sounded like that, Darth Maul's and Savage Opress. But then I went back and I started looking at it a little bit more. And in the Lost season, something we talked about earlier in this show as well, the Lost seasons, or the Lost missions that we have, the episodes, when they were, Yoda was fighting with Sidious in the very end, the last bits of the episodes, and he was up on this catwalk and he was fighting, and Sidious's saber had that same sort of growl to it, so I guess there's the connection there, and I thought I'd heard that before, but it did feel fresh and new, so it was, again, really another great tie to the Clone Wars, and another great, fantastic move on a new saber that does all kinds of great new things, so looking forward to seeing definitely more of that and hearing more of that particular saber. So now we're all caught up on Rebels, and so glad that we've been able to talk about this a little bit. Truly do love the show, and I don't want you to think that some of the things that I've talked about today have been any reason to not like the show. I just wanted to bring some concerns forward, and I hope that, it's the first season. We're just a few episodes in. I'm sure there are going to be some things that we're going to find out that are going to be really cool, and I'm looking so forward to the show, and we just got nowhere to go but up at this point, so it's really fantastic. So I look forward to tons more, and onward and upward is what I say. More Rebels. It's time for the story of Return of the Jedi LP Part 5 from 1983. When we last left off, Han, Chewie, Luke, Leia, and the droids flew the stolen shuttle Tyrium to Endor in hopes of landing on the surface of the forest moon to lower the deflector shield in time for the coming raid on the second Death Star. While trying to use an old Imperial code, there is a long pause as Darth Vader inquires where that shuttle is going. Luke senses Vader's presence and realizes that he may have jeopardized their secret mission, but Vader clears them to pass and states that he will deal with them himself. So let's pick up on the action in the story.
Han proceeded to Endor, a nearby moon covered with thick foliage and huge trees. Landing near the Imperial base, he and his troops began their secretive march toward the shield generator bunker. They had not gone far when they were spotted by two Imperial scouts.
Go for help! Go!
Han knocked out the first scout as the second leaped onto his speeder bike and roared off into the woods. Chewie quickly aimed his crossbow.
I see them. Wait, Leia!
Leia grabbed the remaining speeder bike and zoomed off just as Luke jumped onto the back seat. Leia skillfully steered after the two escaping scouts.
Move closer! Get alongside that one!
Luke leaped onto the nearest bike, knocking its rider to the ground. Just then, two more Imperial speeder bikes joined the chase.
Keep on that one! I'll take these two!
Luke quickly braked and let his two pursuers rush past him. He blasted one to the ground and raced after the other. They weaved among the trees at breakneck speed. Their bikes tangled. Luke detached his bike and leaped to safety just before it collided with a tree. The Imperial speeder scout doubled back, firing laser bolts. Luke lit his lightsaber and deflected the shots. As the speeder tore past him, Luke slashed off a stabilizer fan. The bike spun out of control and smashed into a giant tree. Far ahead, Leia was knocked from her bike just as her prey met with a large tree stump.
General Sandu, somebody's coming.
Luke!
Where's Leia?
We got separated. Hey, we better go look for her.
Take the squad ahead. We'll meet at the shield generator at 0300.
Come on, R2. We'll need your scanners.
Don't worry, Master Luke. We know what to do.
Deep in the Endor forest, a small, bear-like creature approached the unconscious body of the princess. Cautiously, he prodded her with the point of his crude spear.
Koopa Noopa!
Cut it out! I'm not gonna hurt you.
Toota.
Well, looks like I'm stuck here. Trouble is, I don't know where here is. Maybe you can help me. Come on, sit down. I promise I won't hurt you. Now come here. All right, you want something to eat? Come on, That's right. You're a jittery little thing, aren't you? What is it?
Freeze! Come on, get up.
Oh.
Go get your ride and take her back to base.
Yes, sir.
What the?
Oh! Leia knocked out the distracted guard with a tree limb. Then she shot the remaining scout as he sped off on his bike.
Come on, let's get out of here.
I told you to remain on the command ship.
A small rebel force has penetrated the shield and landed on Endor. My son is with them.
Are you sure?
I have felt him, my master.
Then you must go to the Centauri moon and wait for him. His compassion for you will be his undoing. He will come to you, and then you will bring him before me.
As you wish.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed part 5 of the story of Return of the Jedi LP from 1983. Stay tuned for part 6 in our next episode. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We had a lot of topics that we got into, from The Insider to The Clone Wars to Episode 7 to gaming news. We got into a whole lot about Star Wars Rebels and sharing my opinions and thoughts on that. I'm glad to have some new Rebels to talk about. It's really fantastic. So if you ever have any comments or questions or you'd like to send in your feedback, you can always reach us on the website and check out news as we provide that for you on galactic-voyage.com. If you'd like to reach out to us on Twitter, you can reach us at Galactic Voyage. Or you can always go to the podcast show website page where we have a SpeakPipe application, and you can just record us a message and send it in, and that message can be played on the air on our next episode. So we really look forward to your feedback there. We know you have a lot of options for other podcasts, so again, we thank you so much for joining us and hope that you've enjoyed this particular episode of the Galactic Escape Pod. My name is Gary Willis, and I'm your host, and always remember that...
you've taken your first step into a larger world.
Thank you for joining us on the Galactic Escape Pod, the official podcast of galactic-voyage.com. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not endorsed in any way by Lucasfilm Limited. Star Wars, all sounds, characters, and music are the property of Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of galactic-voyage.com.